Common contract mistakes. Introduction. Real estate contracts are long. The TREC 1-4, family residential contract, resale, is 10 pages and full of legalese that could make any non-licensed attorney's head spin. So it is understandable that people can make mistakes when filling them out. However, buyers and sellers hold real estate agents to a high standard and expect them to know how to fill out a contract properly. After all, that's why brokers earn commissions. Entering incorrect information or leaving blanks and checkboxes empty could result in a financial loss on the part of the buyers or sellers. Mistakes could render a contract unenforceable. Even worse for agents and their sponsoring brokers, errors could result in lawsuits. Don't make these mistakes. Agents have a daunting task ahead of them, and that is why they need to avoid making the mistakes presented in this section when filling in contracts. Entering the incorrect names. But that's not my name. Let's start with paragraph 1 of the TREC 1-4, Family Residential Contract, Resale. Because this is the contract that residential agents use most often. Many people do not go by their full legal names. Men with names like Jonathan may go by John, Johnny, or even Jack. Stevens often answer to Steve, while some Michaels prefer Mike. Tamaras might like Tammy or Tammy. Even though these individuals have chosen to go by a shortened form of their names, it does not mean you can write it into the contract that way. Do not enter nicknames or shortened forms of buyers' or sellers' names. Ensure that you do not misspell a party's name. There is a big difference between Moises Gonzalez and Moses Gonzalez. Those are two different people. Check and double-check that you have spelled all names correctly. The agent should write all parties' names into the contract as they appear on their state-issued IDs. Any other version of the name is incorrect and can cause issues with financing and title work. Do not hurry when filling out a real estate contract. Take the time to ensure that each party's name matches the full legal name on their IDs. The potential for problems. Entering an incorrect name can cause problems for the title company because they will spend time searching for the wrong name. It will also cause the lender issues because the buyer's name on the contract does not match the borrower's name on the loan application. If the buyers are married, do not write in Mr. and Miss Smith. Instead, write in the buyer's full legal names, Jonathan Joseph Smith and Rachel Abigail Smith. If there are multiple buyers or sellers, include each buyer's or seller's legal name on the contract. Sometimes an LLC, a corporation, or a trust may purchase or sell an investment property. In this case, ensure that the person signing on behalf of the entity has the authority to sign. Entering the wrong address or insufficient address. Lot and block versus street address. Every real estate contract requires a description of the property for sale or lease. The TREC promulgated contracts require the agent to enter the lot, block, addition, city and county of the property, as well as the address and zip code so that anyone can find the property easily. Most residential agents are familiar with the lot and block method of describing land as it is the most common property description used in subdivisions and residential listing agreements. By entering the lot and block numbers for the property, an individual can go to the recorded map to locate it. While not a true legal description, the street address is included for the convenience of anybody needing to locate the property. A street address by itself is an insufficient description of the property. Avoiding address issues. Double-check the property address for which you are writing up a contract. Ensure that the address is entered completely and correctly. If the address is 2407 West Main Street, enter it as such. Do not enter 2407 Main or 2704 West Main. Transposing numbers, accidentally switching the position of numbers, can confuse the parties because the contract includes the wrong address. However, it does not necessarily invalidate the contract. Suppose an agent made a typo in the street address. The contract is still enforceable, as long as the legal description is correct. The legal address is a critical piece of information, so ensure that the legal description is complete and correct. If it is not, the contract could be unenforceable. Not filling in blanks. Difficulty in interpreting meaning. The TREC promulgated contracts use standard contract language so that agents across Texas may use them for their residential transactions. However, each real estate transaction is unique. The blank fields in the contract allow the agent to enter the information that makes the contract distinct, like the parties' names, the legal description, and the sales price. Neglecting to enter dates, the number of days, or the amount of earnest money, for example, can cause big problems for the buyer, the seller, the broker, and the agent. One of the problems with a blank space is that no one can prove what was supposed to be entered there, if anything, which can cause conflicts between parties. Example of exclusions in a transaction. An agent lists a property for a seller who informs him at the listing appointment that she is taking her high-end Sub-Zero refrigerator with her when she moves because there is no way that she is spending that much money on an appliance ever again. The listing agent does not write Sub-Zero refrigerator in kitchen into paragraph 2, D, exclusions of the contract, and the seller does not notice. The buyer insists that the refrigerator stays with the property or he will cancel the contract. What do you think happens? Answer. 1. The buyer could terminate the contract, costing the seller time and money for mortgage payments until she can sell the house. 2. Alternatively, the seller may concede, and the agent may have to pay the seller the cost of another Sub-Zero refrigerator. When in doubt, fill IT out. Even if a seller is not excluding any items from the sale, still write none into the blank. Agents can protect themselves by ensuring that they leave no empty blanks. It is hard to read intention into empty blanks. A seller could say that he did not mean for Great Aunt Evelyn's crystal chandelier to convey with the property. If the field was left blank, maybe he told the agent or maybe he didn't. Who can know? If the agent writes none into the blank, then it would seem that the seller did not intend to exclude any items. The moral of the story is not to leave any fields blank. The broker lawyer committee provided those blank lines for a reason. Write none, NA, or simply draw a line in the space to indicate that you saw the space and intentionally marked it as it applies to your transaction. Leaving checkboxes blank. Leaving checkboxes blank is related to leaving empty blanks throughout the contract. Both the TREC promulgated contracts and TXR forms contain checkboxes that the agent must mark for specific provisions to take effect. Suppose an agent neglects to check the appropriate boxes. In that case, those provisions do not take effect in the contract, which can lead to problems for the buyers or sellers. If the provisions do not apply, they cannot be enforced. Example of title, policy expenses. For example, paragraph 6, A of the 1-4 family contract requires the agent to check off the party responsible for the title policy's expense. If no box is checked, who will pay for the title policy? Answer. 1. The buyer could claim that the agent told him the seller was responsible for the title policy. 2. The seller does have to furnish the title policy to the buyer. However, the contract clearly includes two checkboxes to indicate the financially responsible party, which could be either party as negotiated. Be aware of different options. Make sure that you check the boxes that apply. This means ensuring that you check the correct box. For example, paragraph 6, C includes checkboxes labelled 1, 2, and 3. Each box represents a different option. Do not just check the first box without understanding what it says. Options presented in paragraph 6. C. Select each tab to read about the options offered in paragraph 6. C. Option 1. Option 1 states that the seller will provide the buyer with an existing survey of the property, which will require the seller to give the buyer a T47 affidavit or a T47.1 declaration. The existing survey must be acceptable to the title company and/or the buyer's lender. If not, the buyer must obtain a new survey at either party's expense, no later than 3 days prior to the closing date. Option 2. Option 2 states that the buyer may obtain and pay for a new survey. If the buyer fails to obtain the survey, they may not terminate the contract under paragraph 2B of the third party financing addendum. Option 3. Option 3 states that the seller will obtain and pay for a new survey. Example of incorrectly checking boxes. Without thinking, a busy agent checks the box in paragraph 6C1, indicating that the seller will provide their existing survey. However, what if the seller does not have an existing survey? What if the seller wants the buyer to pay for a new one? Answer 1. Incorrectly checking boxes can cause even more issues than just leaving them blank because the agent is committing one party to perform a task. 2. Make sure that each party is obligated to perform the correct tasks. Agent negligence and potential TRILA violations. License holders must understand that if they fail to complete a TREC promulgated form correctly, not only could they cause problems for their buyers, sellers, and brokers, but they could also be considered negligent, a violation of TRILA section 1101.652(b)(1) that is subject to discipline by the Commission. The Commission may suspend or revoke a license under this chapter, or take other disciplinary action authorised by this chapter if the license holder, while engaged in real estate brokerage, acts negligently or incompetently. Not entering the effective date. The importance of the effective date. The effective date is mentioned no less than 12 times in the TREC 1-4 family contract, so you know that it must be important. In fact, it is the most important date. Real estate contracts contain provisions that require performance by a specific date. The effective date of the contract determines the deadlines for which each party is responsible. The delivery of earnest money, the delivery of the survey and the seller's disclosure notice, the buyer's possession of the property, the casualty loss provision, and the termination option are all predicated on the effective date of the contract. Without an effective date, the deadlines written into the contract do not make sense. What does 3 days before the effective date mean if there is no effective date? The effective date is the date when both parties have signed the contract and acceptance has been communicated. Communication with the buyer, seller, or broker can establish the effective date of the contract. Why is it so important? The effective date is the date when the contract becomes officially binding on the parties. It is the date of final acceptance. Remember, the broker is responsible for filling in the effective date, either the buyer's broker or the listing broker. If in doubt, both brokers should confirm the effective date with each other. A contract lacking an effective date is still valid. Both parties agreed to the terms and signed the contract, trusting that the broker would write in the final date of acceptance, the effective date. If the broker neglects to do so, it could cause conflicts between the parties and the brokers, as they must determine the effective date after the fact. They may execute an amendment to the contract, establishing the effective date. A court will have to resolve the issue if they cannot agree. Guidance from the Texas Realtors. Texas Realtors offers guidance on how to determine the effective date of a real estate contract in Texas. The final date of acceptance determines the effective date. The final date of acceptance is when the contract becomes binding between the parties. It is the date that both the buyer and seller have agreed to all terms of the contract and have executed the contract. Four elements must be satisfied for final acceptance to take place. 1. The final contract must be in writing. This is typically satisfied when negotiations are made using promulgated forms. 2. If applicable, the buyer and seller must sign the final contract. This includes the initialing of and handwritten changes to the initially drafted offer. 3. Acceptance must be unequivocal. 4. The last party to accept must communicate acceptance back to the other party or the other party's agent if applicable. The effective date is when the last element, communicating acceptance back, is complete after the other three elements are satisfied. One reason why communicating acceptance back to the other party is mandated is to inform the other party when the contract performance requirements or periods for performance begin. Tips for calculating periods of performance. How do you determine the number of days for a contract deadline? Check out these tips for figuring out the performance period. Tip 1. You must know the effective date of the contract and write it on page 9 of the TREC, 1-4 Family Residential Contract. Page numbers may vary based on the contract. Tip 2. The day after the effective date is day 1. Think of the effective date as day 0. Tip 3. Count out the number of days negotiated in the contract for the specific deadline starting from day 1. Example of determining performance period. Buyer. Rick must deliver his earnest money of $2,500 3 days after the effective date of the contract. Seller Steve signed the contract on Monday, May 18th and communicated his acceptance to the selling broker. The broker wrote the effective date on the contract as May 18th. 1. By what date must Rick deliver his earnest money into escrow? Answer: Thursday, May 21st. 2. What if seller Steve communicated acceptance of Rick's offer on Saturday, but the selling agent could not notify Rick until Monday? Does the effective date fall on Saturday or Monday? Answer: The effective date is Saturday because that is the day seller Steve communicated unequivocal acceptance of the contract to the selling broker. Entering incorrect information in paragraph 21. Notices or leaving IT blank. Wrong info in the notices section. Again, leaving blanks on a contract form is a big issue and a common cause for concern, because anything left blank is ambiguous, and ambiguity often causes conflicts between the parties and their brokers. Blank spaces or incorrectly entered information also cause problems for the title company, appraiser, and lender. A common complaint is that agents either leave paragraph 21, notices, blank, or enter the broker's information instead. This paragraph ensures that the brokers, title company, and lender can communicate notices to each party during the transaction and thereafter. Without any information or incorrect information, the title agent may be unable to communicate critical information to the given party on time. Given that time is of the essence for the provisions of the contract, this could be a serious problem and could delay closing. information you should include. The agent needs to ensure that the contact information entered into this section is current and correct. They must write in the following information for both the buyer and the seller: bullet address, bullet phone number, bullet fax if applicable, bullet email address. Do not enter the broker's contact information here. Not completing paragraph 5, a earnest money, and or paragraph 5, B, termination option. Termination options. A termination option is not a requirement of the contract. Buyers do not have to pay for an option period in order to purchase a property. The termination option is a negotiable term in the contract. The termination option is kind of like a safety net for the buyer. For nominal consideration, the buyer pays for the unrestricted right to terminate the contract within a prescribed period, meaning that the buyer agrees to pay the seller a negotiated option fee that gives him or her an option period based on the effective date in which to terminate the contract. The option fee and the earnest money are not the same things. Why buyers may want to terminate. 1. Inspection revealed unsatisfactory defects. 2. The estimated costs for repairs are too high. 3. The buyer could not obtain financing. 4. The buyer found a different property. Delivery of earnest money and option FE. Suppose the buyer wants the contract to contain a termination option. In that case, the agent must fill out paragraphs 5A and 5B of the TREC 1-4 Family Residential Contract. Resell. Looking at paragraph 5A in detail, notice that the buyer will deliver the earnest money and the option fee to the escrow agent. When the agent enters a dollar amount for the option fee, the termination option becomes a part of the contract. How much is the option fee? The amount of the fee is negotiable between the parties. Notice that the contract uses the term nominal. Nominal means a small amount. Typically, an option fee is between $100 and $500, usually on the lower end of that spectrum. The option fee will not be the same amount as the earnest money. To whom is the option fee paid? The answer is the escrow agent. Read the paragraph carefully. The buyer must deliver the option fee to the escrow agent. As of April 2021, if the buyer delivers the option fee to the listing agent or the seller, he or she is at risk of not having the right to terminate the contract. When is the option fee paid? The answer is within 3 days after the effective date of the contract. Example of option fee payment. If the effective date of the contract is January 15th, the clock starts counting on January 16th and the buyer has until January 18th to deliver the option fee to the escrow agent. Failing to include required addenda. What are addenda? Most real estate contracts require addenda that, when attached, become part of the contract because there are so many details involved in a transaction that the standard contract forms cannot address them all. An addendum is an additional form attached to and incorporated into the contract that adds or further describes the rights and duties of the parties. If an addendum's provision contradicts a provision in the main body of the contract, which prevails, the addendum or the standard contract form? The answer is the addendum. Most commonly used addenda. A few of the most common addenda are the third-party financing addendum, addendum for seller's disclosure of information on lead-based paint and lead-based paint hazards, addendum for property, subject to a mandatory membership in a property owner's association, and the addendum for sale of other property by buyer. Paragraph 20-22 of the TREC, 1-4 Family Residential Contract, resale, includes a checklist of the addenda to be included as part of the contract. If the agent checks off a box next to an addendum, it must be attached to the contract. Failing to obtain all signatures and initials. Get those signatures. Please ensure that the buyers and the sellers sign on page 9 of the 1-4 contract, as shown above. The signatures of the parties are what make the contract legally binding. If the seller does not sign, is the contract binding? No, it is not. If the seller does not sign the contract form, then he or she has not accepted the offer, and the contract is not binding. The same logic applies to an addendum. If a seller does not sign a contract, he or she may be considering a counteroffer or may have decided to ignore the offer completely, as is their legal right. If a seller signed the contract but has not signed an addendum submitted by the agent, then the contract stands as written. Agents should verify that the sellers are the rightful owners of the property and are competent to sign the contract. Verification by initials. Remember to obtain the signatures of all buyers and sellers involved and have them initial at the bottom of each page as indicated. The initials indicate that the parties have read, understood, and accept each page of the contract. Promulgated contract resources. 1. For a paragraph. By paragraph. Breakdown of each TREC promulgated contract. See the promulgated contract. Forms course offered by Champions. 2. License holders with questions can find more information about contracts on TREC's website or the Texas Realtors website. 3. Always have your broker clarify any confusing concepts or talk to a real estate attorney for a legal explanation of real estate contracts. Misunderstanding. Paragraph 12 of the 1-4 Family Residential Contract. Addressing settlement expenses. Paragraph 12 of the 1-4 Family Residential Contract. Resale. Addresses settlement expenses that are paid at or before closing by the seller and the buyer. Many agents find the recently added language to this paragraph confusing. The Broker Lawyer Committee added the new language in this paragraph in light of the Seat Zur Burnett lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors and subsequent lawsuits. Select each tab to review the various pieces of paragraph 12 in the 1-4 contract. Paragraph 12, A1A, all of paragraph 12. A1 addresses seller's expenses. Bullet paragraph 12. A1A states that the seller must settle payment to release all existing liens on the property. Bullet examples of liens. The seller is responsible for include tax liens, mechanics liens, judgment liens, and mortgage liens. Bullet. The contract states that sellers must resolve all liens before or at closing so that the property can transfer clean title to the buyer. Bullet. At closing, the mortgage lien or liens, in the case of a second mortgage, are satisfied with the proceeds from the sale of the property. Bullet. Other liens are generally satisfied with the seller's remaining equity in their home. Bullet. Sellers also pay other fees at closing, such as fees for deed preparation and half of the escrow fee, as the escrow agent handles the money and documentation for both parties to the contract. Bullet. The seller is also responsible for compensating the listing broker according to the terms of the listing agreement. Paragraph 12. A1B. The buyer may ask the seller to make a concession to pay the buyer's broker all or part of the buyer's broker fee out of their pocket. Bullet. Suppose the buyer is asking the seller to compensate their broker at a compensation rate of 3.5% of the sales price, and the seller signs the contract. Bullet. In that case, The seller has agreed to compensate the buyer's broker, in addition to their own broker, at the rate indicated in this paragraph. Bullet. Any amount entered into this subsection will be applied to the brokerage fees the buyer agreed to in the buyer's representation agreement they signed with the buyer's broker. Bullet. The escrow agent will indicate the amount on the settlement form as it is credited to the buyer. Paragraph 12, A1C. The seller may agree to pay a portion of the buyer's other expenses. Bullet. These expenses do not include the buyer's brokerage fees. Bullet. Those fees are negotiated in paragraph 12, A1B, paragraph 12, A2, paragraph 12. A2 addresses the buyer's expenses at closing. Bullet. This includes, but is not limited to, bullet fees and charges associated with loan origination, bullet fees for the real estate appraisal, bullet inspection fees, bullet private mortgage insurance premium, PMI, for a conventional loan, bullet mortgage insurance premium, MIP, for an FHA loan, and bullet a funding fee for a VA loan, bullet. The buyer may negotiate a specific dollar amount the seller will contribute to their closing costs. Paragraph 12. B. Paragraph 12B says that the parties have the right to cancel the contract if any of the expenses exceed what they have expressly agreed to pay. Bullet. Suppose the buyer's expenses exceed what they agreed to pay. In that case, the seller could agree to pay the difference to avoid the cancellation of the contract. Be careful. Do not confuse paragraph 12, A1B with the disclosure at the bottom of page 10 of the 1-4 contract. The amount written into the disclosure is separate from the contractual provision for a seller concession in paragraph 12, A1B. Seller expenses in paragraph 12. A1 include the following. Bullet existing liens, mortgages, taxes, judgments, mechanics liens. Bullet and prepayment penalties, if applicable. Bullet deed preparation, bullet recording fees. Half of the escrow fee. Bullet brokerage fees to the listing broker, according to the listing agreement. Bullet any other fees the seller agrees to under the contract, such as cooperating broker fees. Thinking the disclosure at the bottom of page 10 of the 1-4 is part of the contract. Broker-to-broker compensation. The disclosure at the bottom of page 10 deals with cooperative compensation, that is, broker-to-broker compensation. It is included for informational purposes only to provide transparency and is not a part of the contract. The listing agreement signed by the seller provides for the listing broker to offer a portion of their compensation, commission split, to the cooperating broker, buyer's broker. Broker-to-broker compensation is still allowed in Texas, though some large brokerages have not allowed it since the lawsuit. Comparing paragraph 12, a 1B to the page 10 disclosure. This disclosure was intentionally placed after the signature page because the compensation agreement between the brokers is not a part of the contract between the buyer and the seller. All broker compensation is negotiable. It is not set by law, nor is it controlled by a professional association or real estate commission. The listing agreement establishes the amount of compensation, normally a percentage of the property's sales price or a flat fee. The seller agrees to pay the listing broker. The agreement may also include a provision authorizing the broker to split their compensation with the buyer's broker in a cooperative sale. This amount is what the agent will enter into the disclosure at the bottom of page 10 of the contract.